Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
ESPN Upstate presents Straight Up with Sturge with Mark Sturgis.
Attention, please.
Call 844-GSP-ESPN.
Listen in Greenville at 105.9 FM. Martinburg at 97.1 FM. Yeah!
And now, Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome in Upstate. I have no clue what day of the week it is. Version of Straight Up with Sturge Diesel. Hope you're doing well today. As we'll take you up till 7 o'clock tonight, including a chance to win $1,000 at 4:59, 5 o'clock, as we'll give you a keyword. And you can text it into 72881, and you'll go in a pool. Diesel, no oil
in
the pool.
I don't want to be on a pool with you, Sturge.
Tell you what, NFL Pick'em Contest for the year, that would have been a good pool to be in with me. Because I have proven just once again that I cannot pick NFL games, but neither can a whole lot of people. But we're going to tell you a story about two guys that, I tell you what, they're white hot. They're better than E.F. Hutton. These guys speak. You might want to listen. Some other things we're going to tell you about. It's all about the quarterbacks, why that's the case. Of course, Diesel is the unofficial flagship station of the New England Patriots here in the upstate of South Carolina. We got to talk about Roger Goodell and the Patriots. We got some college football notes as well. The Darth Vader of women's basketball to talk about, men's college basketball. And of course, at 4:45, we'll be joined by our good friend Brett Freelander, the ACC insider columnist. And at 5:35, the voice of the Clemson Tigers, Don Munson. Why? Because Don hadn't had anything to call or do here in the last couple of weeks, has he, Diesel? And I figured it'd give you and him a chance to celebrate.
You know, I always wonder, you know, when you prep at that level, mm-hmm. and that is a different level of prep than most people do. You know, most people don't realize how deep they go in depth to learn this stuff before they go on the air. It's not like they just have a sheet in front of it and they just pull a fact off of it. They spend days prepping mm-hmm. for every single game, and I wonder how quickly or how easy it is to flush that stuff out.
It's tougher than you realize.
Or if it sticks. Some people, it just sticks. With me, once I don't have to remember it anymore, it's gone.
Yeah.
Ask me about algebra. I got nothing.
That's my daughter. I hope she had a little more than that on her algebra exam at Eastside High School today. But, again, Don has been featured on his call of the championship game Monday night when Clemson won, featured on ESPN. Had a chance to go back and speak to his own high school where he graduated from. And, of course, Diesel, a chance for you and him to break down that new four-game series between East Carolina and App State.
We'll just sing hi, Yikes all day.
All right. Let's get this one out of the way. Some sad news to report out of the Midlands is South Carolina had a baseball commit, Brett Williams, who's a sophomore at White Knoll High School. He passed away today. According to friends on social media, the death is unknown at this time. He was taken to the hospital having trouble breathing yesterday. Williams was 6 foot, 185 pounds, great, talented baseball player. You know, when you commit on January 5th, your sophomore year, to a baseball scholarship, you're a pretty dadgum good player. Williams was on the mound and also at first base for White Knoll. And just, you want to talk about too soon. Again, having some breathing issues taken in yesterday. He passes away earlier today. Our thoughts and prayers with not only that family, but also the USC baseball program as well. A couple other things to get into today is Tennessee's athletic position. Athletic director position is available, but I got to ask this one before we get started. Diesel, you said the same thing to me when I came in studio today. Why mess with a good thing? Furman just released their 2017 football schedule.
Okay.
Furman and Wofford are opening the year at Wofford on September 2nd.
What day? Is that a Saturday?
It's a Saturday.
Okay, so it's not actually opening day of football.
You were like, oh, no, anybody would watch. No, this is not a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night game. This is the I-85 FCS rivalry game, if you will. Is this one's always been played at the end of the year. Now,
is there at least something in it that's is it being televised regionally, nationally? What are they doing?
That's it. What are they doing? Because, all right, how about this? Here's Furman's football schedule for 2017. Just came out an hour ago. You ready for this? At Wofford, no issue. Elon, former SoCon member, back on the schedule. Their money game, if you will, is at September 16th at NC State. September 23rd at Colgate. You know, Colgate's been I think they actually made it to Chattanooga once in the finals. But my point being,
I'm with it so far.
That's an
NC State is not a completely out of reach game.
All right, Colgate is an out of conference FCS team. It gets a good one. East Tennessee State conference game on September 30 at Chattanooga on the 7th of October. VMI on the 14th. Mercer for homecoming on the 21st. At Western Carolina on October 28th, a week off, November 11th, the Citadel, and then November 18th at Samford. Now, the one thing I do like, if Furman has a chance to run to the playoffs, you don't have one of those beatdown games there at the end of the year. You know, a lot of the SoCon teams sign money games.
So they're not playing Alabama or Auburn or LSU before the big rivalry game.
But why do people – I just don't get wanting to play your rivalry game
in the
first
novelty.
Game of the year. All right.
Just adding some novelty to it, I guess. Mix it up a little.
Just trying to find a little bit of coverage on the dial there. Is that an in-state game? Because I think it would be to the benefit of those two teams.
And you call up Mike Buddy and ask him what he was thinking.
This sounds like a conference thing to me and not necessarily an institution thing. Not that it's a big deal, but that did just kind of become part of that final weekend or, you know, at the end of the season, Furman and Wofford playing. And
well,
do
you think maybe it has something to do with getting away from the Clemson South Carolina game?
That could be.
I mean, other than moving it up to midseason or moving it up a week ahead, I mean,
it just seems weird. That one seemed weird. We don't like to question people just to question. Yeah, we do. That's what we do. All right.
Have you ever listened to this show before?
Hey, shut your mouth, boy. No.
Wow. Well, it's been nice being on the airwaves here on ESPN Upstate.
Sturge just pulled one of those "it's my show" moments here on the air.
No.
So. All right. The other thing is, with success comes the vultures. You know what I mean? And by that, I mean Clemson has seen their assistant coaching staff picked a little bit here as Dan Brooks retired this past weekend, longtime defensive line coach, great coach for many, many years. Earlier today, I'm hearing that assistant defensive line coach and responsible for the defensive ends, and you know he's done a good job at that. Marion Hobby is expected to leave Clemson and go join the Jacksonville Jaguars coaching staff of Doug Marrone.
It's a decent step up for him, you know, from a national power in college to a low-level NFL team.
But my only issue with that is, granted, that's the point, low-level. 2 years at Jacksonville before this coach gets fired, it's been one after the other when it comes to the Jacksonville.
Do you think maybe his plan is to get some NFL stripes on his resume? No matter who it's with, at least he's getting, you know, at least he can put NFL.
Yeah.
On his resume.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it. And congratulations. I'm not begrudging you. You're going to make more money at the NFL level. I'm just saying Jacksonville may be one of the riskier places to land. But, it's been interesting. From 2013 up until last week, Clemson had just gone through one coaching change during that period, and that was Chad Morris leaving his offensive coordinator to go take over as head coach at SMU, and Brandon Streeter coming in the fold. Mm-hmm. Now you'll see how you go replace that. Now I hear one maybe Mickey Kahn, the high school coach from Grayson High School over in Loganville, who's a quality control assistant. He may find himself on the field. And remember, the AFCA just voted through adding that 10th extra assistant coach on the field as well. So you'll see for the first time, and this is what happens when you're successful. You'll see not only how Clemson rebuilds behind the mask next year when it comes to some players, but also in the headset as well.
Well, and what position was it that he was pulled out of? You said a defensive line coach?
Yeah, interior defensive.
Okay.
So basically.
So it's not a devastating loss. And at the same time, yeah, unfortunately, you're losing two coaches in one season. At least only one of them was picked off.
Right.
You know, because if you had two, three, four, five coaches picked off, that'd be really tough. But then again, you ask, you start asking yourself, is everybody on this staff money hungry, or is there some sort of dissension in the ranks? And it appears that Clemson has done a phenomenal job at keeping their coaching staff happy with the longevity and such low turnover that they've had. So, you know, losing one to retirement and one to an NFL franchise, it's not an awful thing.
Oh, listen.
It could be a lot worse.
They are going to be knocking
on the door. They're
going to
be just fine.
No, coaches are going to be knocking on the
door.
Yeah. You look at what, you know, Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Scott Pagano, all these guys coming back on the interior line. And then the defensive
ends. Tell me you wouldn't want to coach those guys.
That's, I can go there for a few years and then maybe move on to a better job. That's what it's all about.
And your thought, do you think you see the likelihood of picking off a high school coach somewhere or picking off somebody who's already in staff somewhere or picking off from another school in the ACC?
I think what they do is they will, one guy gets promoted to the field or to the press box. And it may be Mickey Khan, the one that I previously met. I think the other comes from out of staff. I think you go around and look and see who's had a good effect on. I think the key here is the defensive ends because they're young. Cleveland Farrell's still a freshman. Austin Bryan, a sophomore. They're loaded with guys that they redshirted and all. The interior line at Clemson, I mean, this immediate next year, they could almost coach themselves. You know what I mean? So I think you look, keeping one in and one out. But we'll find out moving forward because this is one of the few times that Coach Sweeney has had to, change that staff out. One of the things that they have been is consistent. And you know what?
And it shows, and it takes 3, 4, 5 years of a consistent coaching staff, and you'll get really good.
I mean, but you stop and think about this as well. The last two national champions, Alabama and Clemson, either one of those games could have gone either way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. People love to take shots at Lil Napoleon, Lil Nicky. But you know what? One of their things has been a model of consistency with their staff. I mean, they have not lost now. They go through the same thing now. Mario Cristobal, the offensive line coach for Alabama, has been hired as offensive coordinator at Oregon. You know, they lost Kirby Smart last year as defensive coordinator to Georgia. But two of the mainstays with those two particular programs that have found themselves playing for a national championship in back-to-back years has been staff stability.
Well, and any staff – you only want your coaches to leave if they're leaving for a better situation. You know, if you've got your offensive or defensive coordinators leaving for head coaching jobs somewhere else, that means you're doing the right things. You've got your position coaches and coordinators leaving to go take over similar roles in the NFL, that's a win. But, you know, if you've got them leaving to take over the same position at a different school, especially if that school is not as successful as you, that's when you know there's problems inside.
Well, I think all is well down there. We'll see how they make it back this year. Interesting, some things, you know, when we come back, a couple more things on college football. We got a lot of NFL to talk about, including why it's all about the quarterbacks. I was a little confused with the particular tweet of Muschamp's the other night after Clemson won the national championship. Also, getting some false reports out there about what's next for Philip Fulmer. We'll tell you about that as well. And then the new members of the College Football Playoff Committee. We'll get to that in the next segment. Phone lines are open, 844-GSP-ESPN.
This is Straight Up with Sturge on the Upstate's new home for the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN Upstate.
And in Greenville,
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg, 97.1 FM and 950 AM. This is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back into the ESPN Upstate Studios. Sturge and Diesel taking you through the afternoon today. 4:45, we'll be joined by Brett Freelander from up in North Carolina, the ACC Insider, as well as 5:35, Don Munson, the voice of the Clemson Tigers in football and baseball. We'll get a little bit of wrap-up on that, but I kind of want to surprise Don, if you will, Diesel. He's had a pretty special couple of weeks here and got invited to go back and talk to the high school that he graduated from. You know,
yeah.
When it comes to me, it'd be like, why don't you come in and say, whatever you did, do the opposite of. And that, yeah, so Don's had some big things, and his call's been featured from all over the world. Yeah, I was listening to that one that we put up on our ESPN Upstate Facebook page, hearing that call in Russian. Those guys sound like they're about half hammered on vodka by the end of that 4.5 hour football game. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Delvin wants to talk about Clemson and Marion Hobby. Delvin, welcome in.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. Hope you are.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and make this prediction right now. Clemson's gonna have 3 new assistants on their staff. I think they're gonna take advantage of the 10 assistant rule. And I'm gonna say Mickey Cohn and LaMesca Hall will join the staff. I think this is gonna happen. They're gonna make Brent Venables the assistant head coach, defense, a coordinator, just defense coordinator. I think LaMesca Hall gonna be the linebackers coach. I think Mickey Cohn will be defensive line coach. And they're going to get a special team coach, and that's going to be the 3 new coaches on staff.
Well, we'll see how it is. I guarantee you, Dabo, you know, one thing is he's always preached, you know, be prepared. He had to know some of this stuff that was coming down. LaMesca Hall played, you know, a very good linebacker in his days at the University of Alabama, and Khan has proved that he's a very good high school coach. So, you know, again, with those defensive ends and defensive linemen that Clemson have, I'm sure there will be no issues if they want to talk to somebody outside the program into coming in, because you know what makes a coach look that much better, Delvin? Good players. Yeah, with national championship, but good players as well, and Clemson's got them coming back at both positions.
Yeah, I agree with you, because you're going to see what I said. Well, let me see. You want me to come coach Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Austin Bryant, Cleveland Farrell, Scott Pagano, Albert Huggins. I think I'll sign up for that.
Yeah.
Who's going to step back and say, nah, I'm good?
Yeah.
I don't really want to coach all these All-Americans.
Yeah, and my other thing is, what do you think about this sort of former situation? Do you think he's going to be the AD?
You know,
do you think it's a good idea?
All right. I tell you what, Delvin, we'll give that to you. Take it off the air. First of all, I started getting the reports earlier today that Phil Fulmer would be named the next athletic director at the University of Tennessee. And quite frankly, that goes against everything I heard up there this weekend. That goes against everything I've heard up there over the last couple of months. I keep hearing it's going to be the athletic director at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. But apparently there is mutual interest between Tennessee and Fulmer when it comes to that athletic director position. This is what I know. Despite multiple reports earlier today indicating that Fulmer was close to a done deal, it is now being reported that that is not accurate. It says reports that UT hiring Philip Fulmer as AD almost done or incorrect. Timeline for hiring is April or May, maybe March. So I don't know what that means at this point, but I know this much. Watch out if you're Butch Jones. First of all, be happy that you know, if it is Fulmer, be happy that you got a former football coach in there that understands the stress of operating in this time and age. The other thing is, remember this. Be worried if you're Butch Jones, because athletic directors like to be tied to their own football hire. And, you know, watch out. You're already talking about somebody in year number 5 that has yet to pull an SEC East title. Boy, you win about 7-8 games next year, and you're losing Joshua Dobbs and Barnett and all those guys. Now, granted, they've been recruiting well. A few of them have gotten in trouble. Tell you what, I could see Fulmer pulling the trigger quicker rather than later when it comes to that kind of thing. So we'll see how that goes. But
he's also a coach who's been there and won there.
Yep.
And if you've got a coach, you know, two coaches removed from Philip Fulmer as a coach,
Derek Dooley, then Lane Kiffin, now Butch Jones.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot. Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, then Butch Jones.
Okay, so you're two, three coaches removed from
only
him.
Two.
Yeah, only two.
Derek,
you're two
Dooley
and a half coaches.
Doesn't count.
You're 2.5. No, I wouldn't count Lane Kiffin.
I would, because he pulled a winning season that year. I still hate Derek Dooley and the fact he introduced orange pants and brown shoes. I have no sense of style. Neither do you, Diesel. But I know not to do that. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what do you wear with orange pants?
White shoes? You wear white Adidas tennis shoes, and don't look like somebody off frat row, man.
No, man. You can't wear the Steph Currys out there.
I'm not saying that.
Under Armour white Steph Currys.
Just traditional, you know, white with black stripes with a little bit of orange hue on there.
I see what you're talking about. Yeah, get your Adidas and put orange stripes on them at least.
Listen,
something.
I realize I have no dress, you know, dress etiquette or whatever you want to call it about any clothing.
Because black and orange doesn't really look that much better.
I'm telling all these young kids today that like to wear brown shoes with blue suits. Ha ha, that looks stupid. I'm sorry, it may be in style. My wife works for Brooks Brothers. I get it.
I always thought you were supposed to wear brown shoes.
Black. I was always taught black belt, black shoes with a blue suit. Now they just wear these brown things, and it just doesn't look right. Looks like a scuffed up Easter egg or something. I don't know. All right, getting back into the role.
Oh, that's going to be trending. Yeah. Scuffed up Easter egg.
Right, so getting back into it, Bill Battle has just proven at Alabama. He retires. You know, they hire, Scott Strickland, who used to be at Mississippi State. No, Greg Burns, excuse me. But Bill Battle proved that you could come in as an athletic director and not have any experience doing it and do a really good job at it. So I'm telling you, Tennessee could do a lot worse, but the one thing that Philip Fulmer could probably do is maybe mend that fan base.
See, I think Phil Fulmer is a feel-good hire for them. Maybe not necessarily the best guy to hire, but it makes you feel good to hire him.
I can't disagree.
It's like hiring Peyton Manning to be your head coach when he's got zero coaching experience. You feel good about it as a Tennessee fan or grad, but it's probably not going to do you a whole lot of good.
Then make me with our, you and I combined, let's make some South Carolina fans feel a little bit better. Maybe some Clemson fans knock down a bit. Yeah, there's been a lot of a play with Will Muschamp right after the national championship game tweeting all of his football players game on. Like, why now? What did that mean? You trying to pick a fight with the team that just, you know, hammered you on rivalry weekend, blah, blah, blah. I like what you said during the break, because I thought that was a pretty poignant message to his 100 or so football players that you said.
It's, look, it can be done in our state. Yeah, you know, everybody's been down on South Carolina athletics in general, not Gamecocks athletics. I'm just talking about South Carolina athletics in general for a long time. And, you know, part of it was NCAA bans and flags flying over the state capitol building, holding the state back a little bit here and there. But that right there is proof that it can be done. I mean, look at it. You had a baseball national championship and a football national championship in state in the same year. I mean, Carolina was real close to winning the Super Bowl last year, the Panthers. So you almost had three championships in one calendar year. That was huge.
Right.
Especially and you know, looking at just at South Carolina athletics, the Lady Vols are really good. The Lady Gamecocks are really good. Sorry, you got me thinking about Vols now. Lady Gamecocks are really good. South Carolina men's basketball is pretty good. Those are both programs that are on the verge of doing some really big things. So I think, to me, it was a coach saying, hey, look, it's been done in our state. We can do it too. You know, that's what I take away from it.
I also take away from it, it means go get your butt in the locker, you know, in the weight room, in the workout room, because we saw the results of that game in Death Valley. It was 56-7. Now, to me, you know, again, this much I'd say, I'd rather hear that, or like Jacob Bentley said, it will never happen again right after that 56-7 loss. You know, to me, what got lost in all that, and I will tell you to the day I go to die, I think all of that stuff that came out after the game was just simply a distraction to get 56-7 over as quickly as they could. And I'll tell you why. Nobody ever got the story consistently correct. It changed throughout the matter of a week. It started down in the corner of end zone 2 hours before kickoff, you know, when players were out there with not pads in. Oh, no, it came out of the stands. It may have happened, but it did not happen in the context that we made the storyline in the media. And I'm sorry, I was down on that field before the game. It did not happen. But I'm not saying that somebody didn't mouth that off or coming out of the stands. But to me, that kind of was created in some ways to mask. We just got hammered 56-7.
And if it was done that way, people are smart enough to know that now we live in an era of I don't have to prove that it happened. They have to prove that it didn't happen.
You're exactly right.
And so we don't know. The fact is, nobody knows. And it really depends on how you feel about it. Depends on which side of the fence you're
100%
on.
Correct.
If you're a Clemson fan, you're saying, hey, there's no proof that it happened. And, you know, I feel like I know our guys, and I don't think our guys are the kind of guys who would do that. If you're a Carolina fan, you say, oh, well, they absolutely would do that. A bunch of scoundrels over there in Clemson, South Carolina. They would do that. And, you know, we're trying to distract away from our beatdown.
Hey, I'm right there, and that's a very, very accurate way of putting it. But this much I'll say, I kind of use the judgment that I use on my daughter with that, which if the story changes, then guess what? She never got the story right to begin with. You know what I mean? When it changed, and that's part of parenting right there as well. Now, I'm not saying it didn't, but I'm just saying I had no issue with the game on tweet. It means let's get in there. Let's get active, you know, and number two, we'll try to prove it to you out there on the recruiting ground because mm-hmm. it's now open season with signing day coming up here in, what, and, 3 weeks away. So,
and Carolina's recruiting class is no slouch.
Yeah, no, it's
they
not.
They got some big names coming in there.
But, you know, the worst part about it for South Carolina is still, even though it was down, some of it's getting back up. It is the league itself, the SEC. Clemson's path.
Very tough.
Will remain much easier.
If Clemson
even
falls off and has 4, 5, 6 win seasons, it's so much easier to come back up, especially when, you know, Florida State is the real power in that division. And outside of that, I mean, Louisville's come on, but there's really not a whole lot of powers in that division.
Yep. All right. Well, when we coming back next, who has joined the college football playoff committee? I like who they bring in and a couple of more things. At 4:45, Brett Freelander, our ACC insider. He'll join us. 5:35, Don Munson with the Clemson Tigers. And again, we're going to get way deep into the NFL. Remember, it's all about the quarterbacks. Nothing more, nothing less. You can make it what you want to in that league. But we'll tell you why when we come back. It's Straight Up with Sturge. We're live in the ESPN Upstate studios.
From Clemson to Carolina, if it's sports, we're talking about it.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
You know what, Diesel? We're idiots. You know that. I know that. Probably a good portion of our listening audience knows that as well.
We should put that in our imaging.
No kidding. We're idiots.
Listen to these idiots talk.
Hey, so, yeah, pretty nice.
It's on my Twitter headers. I have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Just act like you do. Yeah, Clemson's been on a nice 2-year run here mm-hmm. with a runner-up and a national title. But thanks to, on Twitter, Charles Wyatt getting in with us at Charles W. Wyatt. Don't forget about Limestone College's men's lacrosse national titles in 2014 and 2015, as well as the runner-up
Thank
in
you
2016.
For correcting us.
No, that's outstanding.
Make sure you tweet ESPN Upstate when you tweet this stuff.
Yeah.
Tag Sturge in it, but make sure you put ESPN Upstate on them as well so that multiple people can see it.
Yeah, and we'll get that out there as well. So, again, Charles, that's you know, they do have the most dominant D2 program out there. And I tell you, where were we? I think they brought them up to be recognized a couple of years ago when we were working, Price and I, the NCAA tournament for Charlotte there at Time Warner Arena, and I got to see some of them. And I tell you what, the Furman lacrosse team, if those guys at Limestone are as wild as the Furman lacrosse team with Richie Meade, they're having some fun over there.
By the way, we got a tweet in from at Joey Rivera 44, very excited, using expletive deleted words to describe his feelings over Philip Fulmer possibly being hired as AD at Tennessee.
Okay.
So he is excited.
I think it could be a good thing because you know what? Go out there and hire somebody that also has been really good in private business as well, because it's not all about dealing with coaches anymore. It's about sponsorship money, things of that nature as well. All right, in the next segment.
What's Joe Moglia doing for the next 15 years?
Scrooge McDuck. I mean, I don't know.
Swimming in his pile of money?
Exactly. All
Anybody would love to have him as an AD.
844-GSP-ESPN. We'll have Brett Freelander here at 4:45. But, guys, they get it wrong. At least people think they do all the time. That's the College Football Playoff Committee. You go back and look at it. They maybe gotten one number slot out, but they've gotten the right four teams every year.
We're just talking, you know, we're talking about a matchup difference. That's it.
But now you've got people rolling off the committee, and Frank Beamer is added to the College Football Playoff Board today.
I like it.
He also joins Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith and Robert Morris President Chris Howard. They're going to be replacing Barry Alvarez, the old Wisconsin Athletic Director, as well as Condoleezza Rice. As well as, you remember former Michigan coach Lloyd Carr, who spends a lot of his time right here in Greenville, South Carolina now with family members. He stepped down for health reasons from the committee. So we'll see new changes to Clemson's coaching staff. We'll see new members of the College Football Playoff Committee. Now, Beamer to me is perfect.
I mean, he was the longest
tenured head coach in college football and when he retired. Gene Smith is, be careful what you say. Just a couple of years ago, I don't want to be on that. I'd never do it. Blah, 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 blah. Now that Ohio State maybe, you know, got in the back door, you're absolutely right. You're going to be there to help protect your interests a little bit. Now, you know, I was about to say Terry Don Phillips since his name has come up so many times this week, but, Clemson athletic director is going to, he's on the committee. He has to excuse himself. Same thing that will happen with Radakovich will happen with, Gene Smith when the Buckeyes come up. But those are the kind of people. And we saw Frank Beamer everywhere this year. He stayed watching the game of football. Listen, I love politics as much as anybody. Why? Because they're the best arguments in the bar on any given night. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I don't care how much she watched. That was still somewhat debatable of how much Condoleezza Rice deserved to be on that college football playoff committee.
Well, you know, it's not like they're appointed for life. You know, they come and go.
And that's cool.
And I like adding.
What about term limits? What a fantastic thought.
I love the idea of adding sort of
a
wild card, an outsider into the group because it provides an entirely new perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I can buy everything that you're telling me there. But again, in this day and age where everybody's so angry and upset, you know, first of all, you know, it's real easy to play that game after the fact. This much I know they got right. The two best teams, the two best programs in college football the past 2 years have played for the national title.
Let me ask you a question. If, let's just say next year or the year after, whenever it might be, Southern Cal and Michigan end up in national championship game. Are you going to have anywhere near the level of interest that you would have had as a fan this year? Not as a media member, not as somebody who goes down and covers the game, but just as a fan. Would you care?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
it would be a little harder. I'd still watch it. Don't get me wrong. I would still watch it and I would still be into it. But
I mean, I'm not spending Intercom's money to go cover it and this and that and the other, but I care because A, it's the champion of my favorite sport being being given, and number two, it's the final football game of the year, man. I mean, I'm crying regardless if it's, you know, Auburn and the Russians playing in that game. You know what I mean? It's the final friggin' college football.
The only way they can make college
football
any better is to figure out how to get three teams playing at the same time. Think about that.
I got the right person to work on that.
Level of chaos.
Sheldon.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember when he
makes three-dimensional chess. Yeah.
Why can't we have three-dimensional
chess?
Yeah,
we got to figure that out. Nobody's even tackled that yet. I think you can have Army, Navy,
Diesel.
And Air Force at the same time.
Diesel. Diesel.
What?
All right, when we come back, Brett Freelander, there is ACC basketball this week. Man, you want to talk about a league that's knee-deep? Clemson's next game Thursday night at Louisville. Then they turn home Sunday at 6:30 to take on a good Virginia Tech squad. And it's not been the start that Brad Brunell's squad has wanted this year, yet they're still labeled by Jerry Palm as a number 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. So we'll talk about what's going on in the ACC, what's going on up in North Carolina when we return with our good friend Brett Freelander, the ACC Insider.
Sports talk from the upstate or the upstate.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM. It's Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back in. It's time to go to the guest line for the first time today. It is the man, the myth, the legend. It's Brett Freelander from up in North Carolina. How you doing, bud?
I am doing well. How about you?
I tell you what, man, it's just been so easy getting back in the swing of things today. For the first time, it feels like we've been home in roughly about 5 weeks, Brett. I don't know how you do this over and over again, but, let's start with a quick look back. I mean, the ACC, did they finish up their greatest year ever in college football? And the fact that it's a 1 year sample size, but the ACC was the king of college football in 2016.
Yeah, I think you can pretty much say that it was the best year in ACC history. I mean, at least in modern history, going back to the, you know, the time when they were wearing leather helmets, I guess. But in all seriousness, though, this is a process. This year, I think, is a product of a process that really began about 3 years ago with Florida State winning the national championship, and you see the improvement that has been made in the coaching roster of the Coastal Division, and that has become more competitive. And you know, you've got a Heisman Trophy winner from a school other than Clemson and Florida State. Yeah, I tell you what, it is definitely on the upswing, and it is something to be you know, celebrated. But let's see if this can be sustained now, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that are leaving, and there's going to be some retooling next season, and it'll be interesting to see how that works. But you know, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, we don't want to be Nick Saban. We want to enjoy success for a little while before we move on to try to keep it going.
You just had to fit that one in there. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Bella.
All right. Make sure you follow Brett on Twitter at BeFried, and that's FRBFRIED. Now, Brett, look at this college basketball top 25 in the AP. The highest ranked team from the Atlantic Coast Conference, 9th ranked North Carolina, followed by 10th ranked Florida State. And then Notre Dame's down there at 15, yet you look at them, they're 16-2, or Notre Dame, who's 5-0 in ACC play. North Carolina 17-3, 5-1 in league play. And Florida State 16-2, 4-1 in league play. And as you retweeted a friend of yours, Rick Lewis, earlier today, what a brutal league this team. You've got teams ranked at 30, 36, 42, and 52, and all of them have a 1-4 conference record. Is this the deepest ACC in basketball that you've ever seen?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, because back when it was a 9-team league, back in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, the Michael Jordan,
right.
And James Worthy and Ralph Sampson and Len Bias. I mean, everybody was so good, and everybody knew each other so much that it was they played a double round robin. It was just crazy. But I would say this is clearly the best and the deepest it's been since expansion started over the last decade or so, and probably further back than that. You know, I think one of the reasons why you don't have a team in the ACC ranked higher than 7 right now is because of the cannibalization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is so deep. And, you know, and everybody's got a loss except for Notre Dame that, you know, I think that because of the records, you know, it's skewed a little. But I tell you what, I would put any one of those, maybe top 12 teams right now, up against anybody else above the 7 in that poll. And I would say that the ACC team would have a very good chance to win the game. And I think that while the records aren't going to be as good when the season is over because of, you know, the depth of the league, I would say that this is going to prepare these teams incredibly for the NCAA tournament. And I wouldn't be shocked to see 9-10 teams get in, and at least half of those make it to the Sweet 16, and at least a couple of them get to the Final Four. And you know what also makes the ACC tougher this year, and you folks down there in Clemson have already felt it a little mm-hmm. bit, is that when the season started, everybody assumed that there were going to be a couple of teams that you can circle on your schedule and say, okay, we're going to get wins here, and we're going to get wins here. And I'm talking about Boston College and Georgia Tech. Well, as it turns out, that's not the case. Boston College has got 2 wins already, which is 2 more than it had last year. And Georgia Tech, whose coach, Josh Pastner, was told by the guys who hired him at the beginning of the, you know, back last April, that, you know, he might not win an ACC game all year, and that if he won one, he probably would get votes for Coach of the Year. They're 3-2 right now, so there are no gimmies.
No.
And it's great for us as fans, and, you know, it's fun to watch because every game is legitimately up for grabs. But, you know, when you're talking about national rankings, when you're talking about coaching, and when you're talking about being a fan of one particular team, sometimes that's not quite as good as it's been and may have been expected.
Well, Brett tends to know what he's talking about in basketball. He's covered the ACC for 35 years, managed to get to 11 Final Ooh. Fours and a whole bunch of other stuff. And before I get to the question that I really want to ask you, what about NC State? You mentioned Josh Pastner Ooh. And Georgia Tech. To me, they're the biggest surprise on the positive side of things. But NC State, Mark Godfrey, seems like things might be getting a little chippy toward each other up there. It's the Wolfpack, 1-4 in league play, 12-6 on the year. And, you know, Coach Godfrey kind of got after his players after this recent loss.
Well, first of all, I think he should have done it after they got beat by 51 by their rival, and mm-hmm. they really quit, you know, at the Dean Dome. To me, I would have just let him have it. He tried the nicey-nice thing, the stroking them. And then, of course, they go to Boston College and lose there, and he gives the, well, we've been improved and all that. But now he's trying the tough love angle, and, you know, we'll see if that works. I'm not ready to give up on anybody right now, especially a team that has got that much talent. And, you know, the fact that they really are only playing together maybe for about the 10th game. I mean, you had Maverick Rowan missed 8 games early with a concussion. Omer Yurtseven, their 7-foot Turkish 5-star center, you know, missed the first 9 games, sitting out an NCAA suspension for taking money from his club team back home. And so really this is a team that's still, I think, trying to figure itself out. That having been said, I don't know if Mark Gottfried is the guy to bring this thing together. I don't know that he's got the X's and O's skills and the strength of character to kind of whip this team into a unit. And I got to tell you, Dennis Smith Jr. is putting up great numbers, and he's going to be one of the top guys picked in the draft. But he sure reminds me a lot of Austin Rivers with Duke a few years back now, who basically was out there to get his own numbers up and to get his own draft stock as high as possible and really put the team second. And that was probably, other than the year that Krzyzewski was out for a long period of time in 95 with the back injury, that was the worst Duke team I can remember. And they lost to Lehigh in the first round of the NCAA tournament. That's what this NCAA, that's what this NC State team is kind of reminding me of. And they're playing tonight. They're playing at home against the Pittsburgh team that's kind of wounded and doesn't play a lot of defense either. So this is a huge, huge game for the Wolfpack. If they can win it, look, they'll only be 2-4 in the league, and there's a lot of games left to play. But if they lose it and put themselves in a 1-5 hole with the hardest part of their schedule still to come, things could get, like you said, pretty chippy, and it'll be interesting to see if they start sniping at each other.
All right, Brett, as we close up shop with Brett Friedlander, give him a follow on Twitter at BFriedACC. That's BFRIEDACC. Yeah, your cover page is a great photo of Grayson Allen. I believe he broke broke your laptop that night.
He did.
Matt Conley.
I got a much better one.
Yep.
After the deal.
Matt Conley from the state newspaper sitting right to the right. So you've been tripped up by Grayson Allen to a certain extent when your laptop is now in garbles in front of you. But at what – listen, he's done it enough to catch everybody's attention. But at what point do we have to get out of every little thing that he does on the court having to be on CBSSports.com, ESPN.com, that, oh, the ACC doesn't think that's anything to worry about? Because he actually got, a little bit slapped, if you will, the other day at Louisville. Is that a storyline we need to let go of, or is that just something that we got to deal with till March, potentially April?
It is something that we're going to have to deal with just because, you know, that's the kind of thing that becomes clickbait. But, I think we should have gotten over that a long time ago. And listen, the kid has brought it on himself.
You're right.
Done some stupid things, and really he deserves the extra scrutiny because, you know, he has done, you know, dumb things. But here's the thing: whether we like the punishment or not, he's been punished for it. And I think that, you know, the meltdown that he had on the bench, you know, after, you know, the latest tripping incident, to me says that he realizes that he's screwed up, and he's really screwing up his career. I don't think that was angry that he was being punished or that he had gotten taken out of the game or that he got a technical foul. I think he realized that he had screwed up big time and that this time he could really pay a price for it. Listen, he needs to be punished when he does stupid things, but it is, I think, totally unfair to go out and try to find things to kill him over. He's a hard-nosed player. He's the kind of guy who is very edgy, and guys like that will step over the line from time to time. But, you know, he's a very good player, and to be honest with you, he's kind of playing on eggshells right now. Mm-hmm. And for Duke to be really good and Duke can kind of get it back together, they need Grayson Allen playing, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but I'm going to anyway. They need Grayson Allen playing balls out all the time, and I think he's kind of holding back right now because of the scrutiny, and it'll be interesting to watch because I know that it's not going to change and there's going to be that kind of scrutiny on him, but I think it's time to lay off because there are guys that are, you know, doing things that are, you know, that are just as bad and are not getting the publicity and the scrutiny that Grayson Allen's getting.
Well, listen, you've never been one to toe the line, and that's why we appreciate you so much. But
and I've been punished for it too.
Yeah, exactly. We all have. All right, tell our listeners real quickly what you're working up, and again, make sure the easiest way to catch up with you is just on Twitter at @BFreedACC.
I'm actually right now putting together a story on Roy Williams' 800th win and some of the reaction. They had some really cool video congratulatory statements that they played after the game from all his old players, including a guy by the name of Milt Newton, who played in victory number one back in 1988. But the other story that I'm working on is a really kind of a fun one, even though it makes me feel pretty old. I just talked to Randolph Childress this afternoon. He's an assistant coach with Wake Forest, and you know, he's a Wake Forest Hall of Famer, former ACC Player of the Year. And his son, Brandon, is a freshman point guard with the Deacons who scored 16 points against the Tar Heels in the second half the other day and really kind of seems to be emerging now. And it's an interesting dynamic because he could have gone anywhere he wanted. He was a three-star point guard. And, you know, it takes a lot of chutzpah to want to wear the uniform and play on a court where your dad's picture and jersey number is hanging from the rafters. So a lot of pressure, but those two seem to be handling it, and I'm looking forward to writing that story.
All right, man, we appreciate it as always. Be good, and give me about 24 hours, and your dozen will be ready for you. All right, thanks, Brad.
My stomach is waiting.
All right, thank you much. Brett Freelander from North State up in North Carolina, just the ACC insider columnist. All right, when we come back, we got a few more notes.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.